Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning, and we're going to go to the book of Joshua this morning, the book of Joshua. And we're normally in 1 Peter, but if you look at 1 Peter chapter 3, where we would be at normally, it's kind of dealing with the home, and it starts out dealing with the wife first. And I thought, well, that probably wouldn't be the best thing to do on Father's Day, right? Because my wife said not to. So I'm just kidding. She didn't. But we're going to be in Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. I want to bring a message this morning, specifically to fathers, to men. But I believe this message is not just for men. I believe that everyone here this morning can get something from it. And so if you're not a father or if you're not a man, if you're a lady in here this morning, don't just tune me out. Don't think, well, this isn't for me. I believe there's something in here for all of us. And so we're going to be in Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. And we'll begin reading in verse number 6. Joshua chapter 14, verse number 6. It says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, and Lord, just the insight that we find in it. Lord, I pray that you would just work in our hearts this morning. I pray that you would be with each father here, each man, each woman, each young lady. Lord, that as we listen to your word, that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, we would truly try to grasp what you have for us this morning. Lord, not just to be able to come to church and say, I went to church on Sunday, but Lord, to truly seek you. Lord, to truly allow you to speak to our hearts and that we would be yielded to what you have for us this morning. Lord, we do think of the fathers that are here this morning. Lord, we're so thankful for each of them and the impact that they have in our lives, the lives of their children. And Father, I pray that you'd raise up this generation, raise up another generation, Lord, that would follow you. And Lord, men of God that would truly desire to do what you would have us to do. And so Father, just work now in the message, use it to speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, we live in a culture, I believe, where it's almost inappropriate, if we could say, to be a man. Manhood is looked down upon, specifically in our society today, and in a culture where many men are passive, fearful, distracted. I believe Caleb, as we see in this passage, shows us what a godly man looks like. And I believe, if we will look carefully this morning, that we will see that a man is not measured by how much power he has. Unfortunately, I think that's what the world sees is success. How much power do you have? But a man is not measured by how much power he has, but how faithfully he follows God. Do we faithfully follow God? You know, I would say that fear is one of Satan's greatest weapons against men. I know men are supposed to be strong and men are supposed to be the leaders, but I would dare say that most men in here have come to points in their lives where they've been afraid. They've been fearful of one thing or the other. Maybe fear of failure, fear of criticism, maybe fear of responsibility, fear of standing alone, fear of what others may think. Many men are physically brave, but unfortunately, I would say spiritually timid. Men would be willing to stand up and fight for someone's rights, but when we come to spiritual things, we get a little bit more timid. Caleb lived in a generation that was filled with fear, yet he was a man that was not afraid. When 10 spies go in, well, 12 spies go into the land, and 10 of them see obstacles, Caleb saw opportunity. When the nation wanted to quit, Caleb wanted to conquer. When others were just simply wanting to follow the crowd, Caleb chose to stand and follow God. Caleb provides an example of a few areas of biblical manhood that I think we can learn from today. And again, not just for the men, but I think these are things that we can apply to every aspect of our life. But specifically, we're going to see this morning, for fathers, what does it take to be a man not afraid? What does it take to be a man not afraid? This morning, as we look at this passage again, I think Caleb provides an example of some areas that we can learn from. Notice, first of all, he was not afraid to lead. He was not afraid to lead. If you hold your place here in the book of Joshua, go back with me to the book of Numbers. Go back with me to the book of Numbers. Hold your place there in Joshua. We'll be coming back to it in just a moment. But in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, Numbers chapter 13, notice in verse number 2, Numbers chapter 13, well, we can begin in verse number 1. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." And then jump down to verse number 6. "Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh." Caleb was selected as a representative of the tribe of Judah to go into the land of Canaan, to be one of these 12 spies. He was selected. He was one of the representatives of the 12 tribes that were going to go into the promised land. They were going to spy it out, and then they were going to come back and give a report to Moses and the children of Israel of what the land was like. May I say this morning that leadership is not about position. It is about influence. Sometimes we think if we don't have a position of leadership, then we don't have any power or anything. No, it's more about influence. That's what leadership is about. Before Caleb ever goes into Hebron, as we saw there in Joshua chapter 14, before Caleb ever goes into Hebron, he first demonstrated leadership. Leadership was evident in his life. Notice what the few things that we find here. Notice he was willing to stand apart. He was willing to stand alone. There were 12 spies that entered into Canaan. 10 came back with fear, with discouraging words, but there were 2 that came back with faith. And Caleb was one of those that was willing to stand against the majority. In fact, if you go to verse number 30, same chapter, Numbers chapter 13, jump down to verse number 30, the Bible says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses." Well, why? Why did he have to still the people? Because they were all afraid. If you go back up and look a little bit earlier, it says in verse number 27, "And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." So here they are, these 12 men come back, and they're standing there, and Moses is saying, "Hey, what's going on? And what was the land like?" And they said, "Man, the land is a land of milk and honey. I mean, look at this. Look how bountiful the land is." They brought back some of the fruits of it. And again, we find in scripture that the Bible tells us that it took 2 men to carry one cluster of grapes. That's a big cluster of grapes, right? That's a big cluster if it's taking two guys with a staff in between them to carry two cluster, or to carry a cluster of grapes. They said, man, the land is bountiful. The land is flowing with milk and honey. It's amazing. But there's a big problem. There are enemies there. I mean, the Amalekites are there, and the Hittites are there, and the Jebusites are there, and all these other people are there, and they're strong, and they've got walled cities, and the sons of Anak, the giants, are there, and they're beginning to discourage the people. They're beginning to show their lack of faith in God and say, oh man, yes, it's an amazing land, but we can't go in because the enemy is too great. And I want you to notice what verse number 30 says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. You notice he didn't say, let us go up when we figure out what we're going to do with all these people. No, he said, let us go up at once. Let's go now. Let's go. We can go in, right? Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, remember, Israel has come out of bondage. They are not warriors. They're not men of war. They didn't have some superb army. No, they didn't have any of that. These are walled cities. They are armies that have been prepared for battle and things. So Caleb, in being able to say, hey, we are well able to overcome it, I don't think Caleb was looking at their own physical abilities. He was looking at God. And Caleb was willing to say, hey, because of what God has said, we can go up, we can take this land. May I say, sometimes a godly man has to be willing to stand alone. We have to be willing to stand alone. A father must not simply follow culture and society, because culture says that truth is relative, but God says truth is absolute. God says we can know what truth is when we get into the Word of God. Culture says family comes second, but God says family ought to be a priority. Culture says masculinity is toxic. But God says godly manhood is essential. It's essential to the home. A father who leads must be willing to sometimes stand against the crowd and stand alone. But may I say, not only was he willing to stand alone, but he was willing to lead his family. Though scripture does not tell us much about Caleb's home, we find a little bit about what happens with Caleb, and we find his faith in God, but it does tell us that he had an influence on the next generation of his family. It doesn't tell us a lot about what happens later on, but the Bible does mention his daughter in Joshua chapter 15, and then later on in Judges chapter 1. And her faith, it seems like, is almost just as strong as Caleb's faith. His family inherited faith because Caleb lived a life of faith. Caleb lived before his family a life that was willing to say, look, I may not have all the answers and I don't know how it's all going to work out, but we are going to trust God in this. We are going to let God lead us. And guys, can I tell you this morning, men, if you're a father, your family needs you to lead them spiritually. It's not just enough to provide for them. It's not just enough to provide a home and to provide food and to provide the comforts that we want to provide. No, we've got to be willing to lead them spiritually. And that takes men of faith. Men of faith. We're living in a society where men are just kind of saying, well, I'll just let everybody else lead. I'll let my children lead. That's not their job. I'll let my wife lead spiritually. That's not her job. Men, your job is to lead your family spiritually. Your job. It doesn't matter if you have children, if you're just married. Young men, you've got to understand the reason why you need to have a firm foundation in the Word of God is so that one day, when you do get married, you can lead your family spiritually. They're depending on you. Your wife is depending upon you, men. Your children are depending upon you. Your grandchildren are depending upon you to lead them spiritually. Many fathers work to leave an inheritance, but Caleb worked to leave a legacy. Children rarely become what fathers say, but they often become what fathers consistently are. If you will be godly, and if you will lead godly, your children have a much better chance of following in your footsteps and being a godly young person. being a godly man, being a godly lady. Guys, that's why it's so important that we take leadership. We take the responsibility that God has given to us as men and lead our families spiritually. They need to know that dad may not have all the answers, but dad trusts God. They may not know how everything's going to turn out, but dad has faith and he's going to believe God and he's going to go to God and he's going to lead us to follow God. Your family needs to know that. Do they? Again, so many times we've just kind of relegated it to someone else. We'll relegate it. Well, you know, my wife, she really likes to study the Bible, so I'll let her lead spiritually. No, no. Boy, my kids, they're the ones learning all the verses. I can't do that, so I'm going to let them lead spiritually. No, mm-mm. No, God has given that to the men, the fathers. We've got to be willing to lead our families. Not only did he lead his family, he led his tribe as well. Did you notice that? Caleb represented the tribe of Judah. So it wasn't just his family that was watching him. The tribe of Judah was watching him. They were watching, they were looking to Caleb for leadership. The nation was watching him. Leadership always influences others. We're working to influence, and that's why every father, you are leading. You're leading. The question is, how are you leading? Are you leading your children to turn away from God? Are you leading your children to God? Are you leading your children not to have faith in God? Are you leading your children to have faith in God? You're leading one way or the other, men. You're leading your family, whether you like it or not. Whether you've said, hey, I'm going to relegate that to my wife or I'm going to relegate it to my children. You have just led your family to say, men do not need God. The wife needs God, the children need God, but men don't need God. You say, oh, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. By relegating and saying, no, I'm going to leave it to someone else, you're saying that's their job now. It's not important to me. Listen, can I say, men, you following God is the most important thing you can do for your family. It's the most important thing because you are leading them to follow God as well. Don't relegate it to someone else. Well, you know, I'll let the pastor do that. Look, that's not my job. My job isn't to lead your family spiritually. That's your job. My job is to lead my family spiritually. You lead yours. You take the responsibility that God has given you, men, and lead your family. Others are looking. People are watching you. Again, the question is not whether you are leading. The question is, where are you leading them to? Because you're leading them somewhere, either to follow God or away from God. Look, guys, can I just say this morning? Your children do not need a perfect father because you can never be a perfect father. But your children do need a father who's willing to lead them toward God. Do your children see you open the Word of God and read God's Word? Does your family see you pray? Oh, not just when we have food. All right, it's time to pray. We're going to eat. No, I'm saying, do they see that you have a personal time and relationship with God? Do they hear you talk about God? Do they hear you talk about the things of God? Look, they can hear you talk about sports. They can hear you talk about work. They can hear you talk about all. But the most important thing they can hear you talk about is the things of God. When's the last time they heard you talk about the things of God? When's the last time they saw you open the Word of God and read the Word of God? Not for them, but for you personally. See, we need men, godly men, who are going to lead their families. He was not afraid to lead. May I say, secondly, not only was he not afraid to lead, he was not afraid to face giants. Go back with me to the book of Joshua. Go back to the book of Joshua, chapter 14 there. Joshua chapter 14, notice what he says in verse number 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. So he's talking about 45 years ago. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. The Anakims, the giants. And that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. So number one, he wasn't afraid to lead, but number two, he wasn't afraid to face giants. I love what he says, give me this mountain. Caleb, do you know what's on the mountain?
Yep.
You know they're not just going to walk out easy.
Yep.
You still want it?
Yep.
Give me this mountain. What an incredible statement from an 85-year-old man. Sometimes we can lose track of time in the Bible, right? We think, oh man, here's this young man saying, oh, I'm going to go out and I'm going to fight these giants. He's 85. It was 45 years ago at the age of 40 when God said, hey, I'm going to give you this. And Caleb's like, all right, we can go in and possess it. Well, the children of Israel didn't listen to God. Instead of listening to the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, that says, we can do it, they listened to the other 10, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Finally, they come to the Jordan River. They cross in. They've been battling for about 5 years now, and finally, Caleb comes to the point and says, hey, it's time for me to take my mountain. I want that mountain. God gave me that mountain 45 years ago. I'm ready. It's about time. 45 years ago. He's 85 years of age. Says, let's go. Let's do it. It's time. That mountain belongs to me. Can I say most men at 85 would have been seeking for comfort? Most men at 85 would have checked out and said, hey, this is for the younger generation. But Caleb was asking for conquest. And again, he knew exactly who lived there. He knew it wasn't going to be easy. He knew the Anakims still occupied Hebron. They were there 45 years ago. They were still there today. These were the giants. These were the very people that had terrified the 10 spies. Remember what they said back in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 33. We were in our own eyes as grasshoppers. They said, man, these giants are there. We're like grasshoppers. There's no way we can battle them. No way. Can I tell you, there's giants that we're going to face in life, guys. They may not be physical giants, but there are giants that we will face. Are we willing to face them? Will we be afraid and just run away? Can I say this morning, giants do not disappear because we ignore them. Israel tried to ignore them 45 years ago. Oh, we can't do it. No, we're just gonna ignore them. 45 years later, they come back. Guess what? They're still there. They're still there. We have to be willing to face our giants. Every father has to be willing to face giants when they come into our life. It could be a financial giant. It could be a physical giant. It could be a health giant, a family giant, a cultural giant, spiritual giants. But here, guys, listen, ignoring them doesn't make them go away. Ignoring them doesn't make them go away. Instead of ignoring them, we've got to be willing to face them. Look, if you know, hey, I haven't been the spiritual father that I need to be, that's a spiritual giant that's got you right now. You need to be willing to say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to let him defeat me anymore. Right now, today, I'm going to surrender to God. I'm going to say, Lord, if you'll help me, I need to defeat this spiritual giant in my life today. I need to get victory over this. I need to be the spiritual leader of my home. Will we be afraid of the giant? Well, I just don't think I can. I don't know how many men I've heard, well, I don't have the education that you have, Pastor. I didn't go to Bible college. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Nobody's asking you to do that. God's just asking you to lead your home spiritually in the way that he wants you to lead him. Just be the godly man that God wants you to be. Well, I don't understand all the Bible. Neither do I. I don't understand all the Bible. I don't understand everything there is to know about things. Well, Pastor, but you know more than I. You know why? Maybe I might know a little bit more than you do. I study it. I study the Word of God. You know what you can do? You can study it. You can study the Word of God. You know, the Bible's not just for pastors to study. The Bible's for every one of us to study. Men, can I tell you? You ought to be studying the Word of God. Now, here's where it gets tough, right? You say, oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I work 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and then I got to come home and do stuff at home, and then I just don't have time to study. There's a giant. There's a giant. You gonna face him? Say, you know what? This is my responsibility. I'm gonna face it. This is my responsibility. I'm gonna be the man that God wants me to be for my family. I'm gonna lead them spiritually the way that God wants me to lead. Or are you going to run away from the giant, But here's the thing, the giant doesn't leave. 5 years from now, he's still gonna be there. 10 years from now, he's still gonna be there. You've still gotta face that giant at some point. Why not just face it today? Caleb said, hey, let us go in at once. 45 years ago, let's go in, we can do it. 45 years later, the giant's still there. Caleb says, that's all right. This is my mountain. This is my mountain, God gave it to me. Doesn't matter how big the giants are, I know that we are able. God is able to do this. And look, let's face it, giants look different through the eyes of faith. You know that? Giants look different through the eyes of faith. The 10 spies focused on the giants, but Caleb focused on God. What are you focused on, the giant or God? Well, I just don't think I can. You're focused on the giant, aren't you? Why don't you focus on God? Faith doesn't deny reality, right? Faith recognizes that God is greater. God's greater than that giant. He's greater than reality. Yeah, I may not know everything there is to know about the Bible, but I know that God has said, study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Man, I know the more I get into this word, God's gonna help me. He's gonna help me to learn. He's gonna help me to grow. I'm just gonna do what God has told me to do. David saw the same giant that everybody else saw. Remember that? David comes, father sends him to take some cheese and breads and things to his brothers at the battle. Battle of the Philistines, Israel's on one side, the Philistines are encamped on the other side. David comes out, hey guys, what's going on? Brought you some food, brought you some cheese, brought you some bread. Dad says, hi. Hey, what's going on? Well, there's a giant over there, David. What's he doing? He's defying God. How long has he been doing this? Days, weeks, he's been defying God. Well, how come nobody's taking care of him yet? Because everybody's afraid. You see, they were looking at the same giant that David was looking at. But David saw something different. David saw God who is greater than the giant. He says, I'll go and fight him. Well, David, you're not a man of war. David, you're just a shepherd. Well, my God is greater than that giant. And if he won't use a man of war, maybe he'll use a shepherd. David goes out and gets 5 stones. Puts him in his bag, goes out there, faces this giant. Here's this kid, this teenager, out there facing a giant that no other man of war was willing to face. Why did he do that? He was willing to stand alone. He was willing to trust God. God, I know you're greater than this giant. And this giant is defying you. He's cursing you. He's leading people not to have faith in you. Lord, you're gonna have to do something about it. Now, do you really think, I'm just being real here, right? Do you really think that when David swung that stone, that David had enough power in his arm and in that sling to defeat that giant? I'm gonna say no. But I think when David swung that sling and he let that stone go, I think God went, and when God goes, you better watch out. Smack that giant right in the forehead. So hard, he fell over. Everybody thought he was dead. David said, I'm gonna make sure he's dead. Why don't you have that faith? Men, dads, fathers, where's that faith? Well, I don't know, that giant's just too big. I just don't know if I can lead my family. I don't know if I can be the husband, the godly man that I need to be. I don't know if I can be the husband. I don't know. Wait a minute, hold on. Face the giant and know that God is greater than any giant that will come into your life. He's greater than them. Look at the giant through the eyes of faith, not fear. Look at the giant through the eyes of God and realize that God is greater than any giant that we will ever face. You see, courage grows through years of faithfulness. I don't believe Caleb suddenly became courageous at 85. Just like the Bible tells us, David just didn't suddenly be like, hey, you know, I've got this sling here. Maybe I should try it out on this giant. No, David said, I know I can defeat this giant because God has helped me kill a lion and a bear before. Caleb at 85 doesn't just be like, you know what? I think we can do this. I think we can take this land. I think we can do. No, no. There were years of faithfully following God. Again, 45 years earlier, Caleb had said, let's go up. We can possess it. God is greater. We can do this. He had spent decades trusting God. The battles of today, they prepare us for the battles of tomorrow. The things that we go through today, God wants us to get victory over them today because there are going to be battles down the road. And if we don't learn to face the giants now, when we get down the road, there's going to be some other giants and we're just going to do the same thing. We're going to run away. Just like all of Israel did. No, we can't go out there. We can't face that giant. No, Caleb had learned to trust God. Your family needs to see a father who trusts God even when life gets hard. Children are able to learn courage and faith by watching courageous fathers follow God day in and day out. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But when we just simply follow God and trust God, and there are times when we say, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know God's in control. That helps our children, that helps our family see, hey, if dad can do this, then I can do it one day as well. And if dad can follow God, then I can follow God as well. He was a man that was willing to stand alone. He was not afraid to lead. He was not afraid to face giants. But number three, he was not afraid to follow the Lord. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 14, at the end, it says, because that he wholly followed the Lord. Look at the verse number 14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. This statement is repeated over and over again about Caleb. God could have described Caleb in many ways, but instead he repeatedly says Caleb was a man who wholly followed the Lord. What a thing to say about a man. The defining characteristic of the man was not he was a hard worker. The defining characteristic of Caleb was not he was one of the 12 spies. The defining characteristic of Caleb was not he defeated giants. That's where we'd like to park, wouldn't it? Boy, man, I want to be a... No, no. The defining characteristic of Caleb was he was a man who wholly followed the Lord. That was it. Now, did he defeat giants? Yes. He defeated giants. You know why? Because he wholly followed the Lord. Boy, did he lead his family? Yes. Why did he leave his family? Because he wholly followed the Lord. That was the defining characteristic of his life. He believed the promises of God. In Numbers 13:30, it says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Again, Caleb saw the same land as everyone else. The difference was not eyesight. The difference was faith. He was willing to believe God. God had promised them that land, and Caleb believed God. He believed that what God said was true. Men, do you believe God? Do you believe that God says, hey, if you will be the spiritual leader, if you'll step up and be the man God wants you to be, do you not believe that I will help you to do it? Do you not believe I'll give you the strength? Do you not believe I'll give you the wisdom and understanding that you need to be the leader God wants you to be? God will do it if we'll step up in faith. You say, well, I'd rather God do it to me first and then I'll step out in faith. Not how God works. God says, you step up and I'll prove to you that I'm God. You step up. You start being the man that God wants you to be and I'll show you the God that you're following. I'll show you the God that is there. Real faith is acting on what God says, even when the circumstances may not be what we want. We're going to just believe God. You know, what's really interesting is the Bible tells us that he was also disturbed by unbelief and rebellion of Israel. He was disturbed by sin. If you go back to Numbers chapter 14, Go back to Numbers chapter 14 with me real quick. Numbers chapter 14. Notice what he says. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. But watch the verse number 9. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Caleb and Joshua were both grieved by the sin of Israel. While others were complaining about all the giants and everything, the Bible tells us that Caleb was grieved. While they were rebelling, Caleb was pleading. He was saying, don't do this. Don't turn against God. God is able to do this. Because Caleb understood that unbelief is not just weakness. No. Unbelief was rebellion against God. That's what he says. Verse number 9, only rebel not ye against the Lord. Don't rebel against God. Hey, by saying we can't do it, we're rebelling against God. By saying, hey, God's not able to take care of us, we can't do this. He says, don't you understand? It's not just unbelief. You're rebelling against God. And it grieved Caleb. It grieved Joshua. They rent their clothes. And they said, please don't do this. Don't turn against God. Don't rebel against God. We've got to trust God. We've got to follow God. You know what? Nobody listened. But because of Joshua and Caleb's stand for God, the Bible tells us, God says, everybody else is gonna die except for Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else is gonna die except for Joshua and Caleb. All those 20 years of age and up, they're gonna die, but not Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because they believed God. They had faith in God. They took a stand when no one else was willing to stand. They weren't afraid to take a stand. They weren't afraid of the giants. They weren't afraid to follow the Lord. It disturbed them when others would not. May I say, a godly father should be troubled when God is dishonored. A godly father should not just make a mock at sin and be like, oh, it's not a big deal. No, we need to help our children and our family to understand sin is rebellion against God. We don't want to rebel against God. We want to follow God. We don't want God to turn away from us. Hey, they all died. All of those men that went in and saw the promised land, those other 10, guess what? They died in the wilderness because they would not believe God. They rebelled against God. Joshua and Caleb said, hey, let's go. We can do it. God is on our side. We can get the victory. Joshua and Caleb were the ones that were able to enter into the promised land. He wholly followed the Lord. That phrase is repeated several times there in the book of Joshua. It's in Numbers chapter 14. It's in Numbers chapter 32. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Several times there in Joshua 14. He wholly followed the Lord, his God. Very few people receive the same testimony from God in four different separate occasions. Caleb did. The word wholly there means completely. Fully, without reservation. Here's the thing. Caleb was not a part-time follower. And I'm afraid in churches today, I'm afraid we have a lot of part-time followers of God. I'll follow God when things are good. I'll follow God when everything's easy. But boy, when those giants come, and I don't know what to do, and I think the obstacle's too big, you know what? Sorry, God. I'm out. I'm not going to follow the Lord anymore. He didn't just follow God when it was easy and quit. No, he followed God when it was hard, when it was difficult, when there were giants, but he just simply said, I know God is greater. He had no idea how he was going to get the victory over those giants, but he knew God was greater than them. And he simply believed and trusted God. What does wholehearted obedience look like? I think Caleb shows us that. It's faith when others doubt. simply believing God when others are doubting. Courage when others are afraid. Even though no one is willing to stand, I'm gonna stand for God. Everybody else may, I'm gonna stand for God. Obedience when others are willing to compromise. There's perseverance when others quit. See, the greatest thing that your children can inherit is not your money, it's not your house, it's not your possessions. The greatest gift you can leave them is a life that is wholly following the Lord. Can you imagine? Your children, after you die, let's just say you die, your children come, what's the greatest thing you remember about your dad? Well, he played ball with me. Well, that's a good thing. What's the greatest thing you remember about your dad? Well, he took us on vacations. That's a good thing. What's the greatest thing you remember about your dad? He wholly followed the Lord. And I say, guys, there's nothing greater that your children would be able to say of you than you wholly followed the Lord. Wholly, completely, without reservation, followed the Lord. Where are the men that are gonna say, you know what, I'm not gonna be afraid anymore. I'm not gonna be afraid to stand alone. I'm not gonna be afraid of the giants. I'm not gonna be afraid to lead my family because I wanna be a man who's willing to wholly, completely, without reservation, follow the Lord. That's what God says about Caleb. When Caleb was 40, he trusted God. When Caleb was 85, he trusted God. It was a life commitment for him. His strength was not merely in his muscles. His strength was in his faith. And at the end of his life, God didn't remember Caleb for his wealth, his influence, or his accomplishments. God remembered him because he wholly followed the Lord. So men, are you leading your family toward God? Are you the spiritual leader in your family that God wants you to be? Are you facing your giants through faith, not fear, but through faith and trusting God and believing God? Are you wholly following the Lord? Because the world does not need more successful men. The world needs men like Caleb who are not afraid to follow God. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking about. Caleb made an amazing statement. Give me this mountain. This is what God promised to me. It was a declaration of a man who believed that God, who had been faithful yesterday, would still be faithful tomorrow. May God raise up fathers who are not afraid to lead, not afraid to face giants, not afraid to wholly follow the Lord. Men, can I tell you this morning, the only way you can do that, first thing, is you must know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You cannot follow the Lord if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I wonder, maybe today there'd be someone here, maybe it's a man, maybe it's a dad, maybe it's a grandfather, maybe it's a teenager, young person. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not even sure I really understand what that all even means. But I want to know Jesus as my Savior. I want to be able to have a personal relationship with him so that I can follow the Lord. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but I would like to pray for you this morning. You say, Pastor, that's me. It could be a man, woman, teenager, young lady. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died where I would go, but I would like to know more about that. I'm not going to call you out, but I would like to pray for you this morning. You say, Pastor, that's me. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Nobody else is looking around. Just slip it up, say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Just slip it up and put it right back down. Anyone this morning, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. And gentlemen, let me ask you, if you're saying you're saved, Are you being the man that God wants you to be in your home? Are you being the godly leader? You don't have to be afraid to stand alone. You don't have to be afraid of the giants. You don't have to be afraid to lead your family spiritually, because when you step out by faith and obey God, He will be there with you, because your God is greater than any giants you'll face. It's greater than any circumstance in your life. Will you be that man that is unafraid to follow God? Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Lord, specifically men, fathers, grandfathers. Lord, that we would today say, Lord, I want to wholly follow you. I don't want to be afraid of the giants. I know there are giants. Maybe they're facing a giant right now. Maybe trying to lead spiritually is that giant in their life. You say, Lord, I don't want to be afraid of those things anymore. Lord, I want to follow you. And I have faith and believe you. Lord, help us to not be afraid to lead our family spiritually, to understand and help us to realize, Lord, that as we lead our family, that's helping them either to come toward you, to know you, or we're leading them away from you. Lord, we need godly men to lead their families. Lord, it is through godly men leading their families that we have godly men in a church and we have godly men in our nation. Lord, we need godly men who are unafraid to take a stand for Jesus Christ, to follow you. Lord, we need mothers. We need godly young ladies as well who are willing to do the same thing. They may not lead spiritually, but Lord, there are giants that they're going to face. Lord, may they wholly follow you as well. With their heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly this morning. The piano is just going to begin playing softly. Maybe there are some fathers this morning. You'd say, God has spoken to my heart about leading my family. And I'm going to come down and I'm going to pray and say, Lord, would you help me to be a man like Caleb to wholly follow the Lord? Maybe there are some husbands that would say, I need to lead my family, my wife, my children, and I need to wholly follow the Lord. Just step out right now. Maybe come right here at the altar, maybe right there in your seat. Where are the men that are going to say, God, I'm going to wholly follow you. I'm going to follow you, Lord. I know it's not always going to be easy. I know it might be difficult sometimes, but Lord, I'm committing today. I'm going to follow you. Some young men, some young ladies, some moms that are going to say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to let my husband lead. I'm going to be the best example that I can be as a wife and a mother to my children. Maybe there's some mothers that need to come and some moms and wives that need to come and pray and say, Lord, help me to wholly follow you as well. It's not just the men that need to follow the Lord completely. Every one of us is Christians. Young ladies and young men, say, Lord, I want to wholly follow you. Friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'd love to take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. After the service, I'll be in the lobby and love to make an appointment with you sometime and talk with you about Jesus Christ and how you can know Him as your personal Savior. Men, will we follow the Lord? Will we allow fear to continue to control us and keep us from being the men that God wants us to be?